right, you're listening to WGN. My name is Paul Farivar, and we have Dr. John Duffy here to take over the airways. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm great, Paul. How you been?
You know, can't complain. Everything's great. I'm excited.
Always good to be back on the air with you.
Yeah, we for those of you who don't know us, we have a show here. We usually were later. We got bumped up to the prime time for some reason.
We really did. Hard to say why.
I don't know. People like us or don't like us. We'll find out.
Hard to say.
Yeah. But we, between us, we have 27 years of experience in relationships and psychoanalysis. Is that fair to say?
It's psychotherapy.
Why don't psychotherapy, yeah. And all those years are yours.
Correct.
Dr. John Duffy. And I have zero experience with that, but I have a podcast called Singles Only where we talk about being single. And basically talking about relationships, which is what we're going to do tonight, right?
And you know a lot about this relationship stuff. Yeah, you talk. It is your wheelhouse without a doubt.
Yes, I have been single for all my life.
Yeah.
For the most part. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about relationship issues. We're going to welcome calls. The phone lines are open, the love line open, I should say.
Absolutely. Tonight.
312-981-7200. If you have questions about your relationships, we're gonna cover a lot of stuff. We're going to have some giveaways later. We got Lou Malnati's pizzas to give away. We got tickets to Drink Day Laugh, the Laugh Factory to give away as well. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about how to relate to your partner if they don't agree with you on, you know, music, movies,
some core important
teams.
Issues, right? Things that, right, teams that you support,
which is coming up.
TV shows, maybe.
Yeah which is gonna this weekend's a big weekend for if you are Packers Bears family.
Oh my god,
how does that affect the relationship? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Let us know. Text us. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to have some fun games later. We have a surprise guest coming later from the Cubs. Harry Carey will be making an appearance. Also, Ryan Dempster. Totally unrelated.
That's separate guests.
That's later in the night. And we're going to talk about different things that come up in dating and relationships, including something I learned about you, Dr. Duffy, that you have never had a drop of alcohol in your life.
This is correct. I've never had a drink in my life. It's a parlor game I use frequently.
312-981-7200. We're going to talk about that. That is a topic that comes up a lot in my podcast and in dating where people are, you know, that could be a deal breaker for people. Whether they don't drink at all, how do you say, hey, let's go meet up for a drink?
Right. And it can be one way or another, right? Some people want their partner, more people, I would argue, want their partner to drink less, right? You know, like, oh, it gets embarrassing late in the night, or maybe you have an actual problem with this. And then some people want their partner.
Other way.
Yeah, come on, you're no fun. Let's loosen up a little bit.
See, I do stand-up comedy, so I don't like to drink before I do shows. So the first time I'll have a drink, if at all, because I don't even drink during the week anymore,
right,
is when people are just winding down their nights. And that's a hard deal for someone that's single like me to go to sell to someone who doesn't know me.
And
like,
for those of us not in the comedy biz, that's not early, right? When you're off the stage, that's pretty late, isn't
11
it?
11 o'clock usually, give or take an hour.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. Tell us what your thoughts are on 312-981-7200. We're also going to talk about the awards that just were announced, the SAG Awards. We're going to talk about the movies that we did and didn't see.
I think we realized we didn't see more than we saw this year. I think the whole vibe is changing. I think a lot more people are Netflixing than actually heading out to the movies. But there's a few we both agree we've seen, and I probably liked one in particular.
There's one movie that I think was the greatest movie I've seen in a theater in the last 10, 15 years.
I would agree, and probably the most timely piece I've seen in that amount of time too, like important right now.
Yeah, I cannot stress. We'll talk about that movie. I think we're talking about the same movie.
I believe so.
I've been wanting to see it again, but it's not in theaters yet, not in theaters anymore, and it's not on Netflix anymore. So you're caught in this position, and I keep talking about the movie. So hopefully people can catch it now. But we've teased it enough. We'll talk about SAG Awards. We're also going to talk about different issues that you face as a therapist that come up in relationships and in the room, as you guys call it.
In the room. And a lot happens in the room right around the holidays, too. There's some very unique things that come up right about this time of year. So if you have any calls, questions, comments about your relationship at this time, let us know.
Now's the time. Usually you charge, what, $400 or $500 an hour?
Easy, so, Paul, easy.
And now you have, you have two experts here. We're basically life coach / dating coaches, not certified in that regard.
But I think we can call ourselves that nonetheless.
Yeah,
non-regulated terms.
Yeah, I feel like I've coached. Now, we'll take texts as well. I see someone from the 608 is texting, will you take texts? We will.
Absolutely.
But we prefer the calls because we're gonna talk about some deep stuff. We're going to talk about some light stuff too. So stay tuned. We're going to go into that. But right now, we're going to take a break. You are listening to WGN Radio. My name is Paul Farvar.
And I'm Dr. John Duffy.
We are taking your calls and texts 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're talking about relationships and how your like of movies, shows, teams, music, books affects your relationship with your significant other, if at all. And along those lines, the SAG Awards came out today, and we're talking about movies.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen 98.7% of these movies,
and I'm about 94%. So
nonetheless, we're experts in the field.
Of course we are. Like Richard Roper, who was in here before, I think we kind of stand right alongside him.
And the one movie you and I both talked about earlier, which I think was definitely the best movie I saw this year, if not in the last 10-15 years, was the documentary on Fred Rogers.
Absolutely. One of the most moving things I've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was always fascinated by him before, and now like it just shows everything about how amazing a person he was and what impact he had on society, and how like you forget that there is no Fred Rogers anymore, and nobody has really taken that spot.
It's true, and it's kind of heartbreaking,
yeah,
isn't it, to watch the movie 15 years after he passed away. You said you were always fascinated with him.
Yes.
This is a discussion my wife and I were having, as I was really pressing to see this, but neither of us was fascinated with him. Neither of us watched the show, so we weren't moved by it in real time. I had a brother who watched it, but I always thought, oh, this is cheesy, and I don't get this land of make-believe thing. All this seems kind of ridiculous to me. When I was a kid,
right,
this was not a draw for me. Were you watching this when you were young?
So that's funny you say that. When I was, I would mock him,
yeah,
I think, in public as a child. You're like, oh, I don't watch it, but I watch them,
right,
every night, every day or whatever when I was a kid. I remember watching Saturday Night Live as a kid when Eddie Murphy did his mock about Mr. Robinson's name.
Oh,
I was
right.
Like, oh, now it's not cool to watch Fred Rogers anymore. But I did like him. And later in life, I read a book about him because there was a book where he was pen pals with somebody when this guy was having problems with his wife.
Right.
Fred Rogers was responding, and they became pals. It was like a great book. I'll remember the name of it before we end. But
given the film, that's so not a surprise, right?
Not at all.
I remember when we started watching the film, Julie and I both had this feeling like, oh man, I hope this guy is who I thought he was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and throughout the movie, you realize as time goes on, wow, he was better than I thought he was.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, and at some point a producer of the television show says, nothing about this should have worked. He is not a charismatic
yeah,
host. The set is made of paper, and you know this is just a disaster. Production value is awful.
They were going by the fly, just going on the fly and learning, yeah, things on the cuff. And the fact and I'm reading his book now. It's even more fascinating his life before his childhood. You know, being an only child and how that affected him. And everything makes sense because obviously we get to see it after the documentary. And you read the book, and it's like, wow, this is why, this is the building blocks to making a human being that is so perfect in so many ways.
So true. And it's so cool the impact he had on kids. He consults early in the film with some psychologists, and I think about the work I do, and I get to work with kids a lot myself, and he shows them enormous respect. Now, I work with teenagers, so it's a little easier to show somebody who's 16 respect.
Or disrespect, let's be honest.
Or disrespect, I mean, but Fred
kids
Rogers.
Kids in their 16s, oh God.
Right. But he's talking to four-year-olds
yeah.
as if they get it. And so they get it. It was really remarkable to watch.
Yeah,
right?
He in the book that I'm reading now, it talks about how, going along with what you said, if he was unsure about how to deal with an issue or something that came up, he would stop production on the show and go consult with a psychologist
yeah.
or a professional to make sure he's handling it and responding properly before he went on the air.
Yep, yep. And
that kind of responsibility does not exist right now.
It really doesn't.
Except on this show, let's be honest. We're the most...
Mr. Rogers back yeah, in a lot of ways.
We have the same credibility. between us, we've given out so much good advice on the last few episodes we've done together. So.
Really, it matches probably a season or two of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, I'd say.
I mean, I think single-handedly, I was responsible for saving 2 to 5... relationships on the last time you and I were together. So.
I remember that well. I think it was 5.
Don't listen to the podcast because you may not be able to see it live, but it did happen.
Right. You won't be able to capture the real feeling on the podcast.
But 312-981-7200. Call us and your thoughts on Fred Rogers. Or also, how does... And your wife liked the movie as well?
She did, although she wasn't interested in seeing it at first. So this kind of plays into what we're talking about, you know, like we're not always interested in doing the same things. The thing you brought up that made me think of my relationship most is books. So I'm a big reader.
Same.
And are you?
Yeah.
And so you're right. So I read a lot, and I like to read fiction and nonfiction, and that's something I need with me all the time. I need a book that's going on ongoing all the time. Usually I need 2.
I have 3.
Do you really?
3 books, yeah.
Why do you need the fallback books?
Well, I want to, I have a light book, I have a deeper book, and then I have one that's like fun. And I usually generally read nonfiction, so I like to, and I also have like ADD, so I like get bored with one topic. So,
yeah.
But I'm reading a lot of biographies and autobiographies. That's kind of my wheelhouse. So.
Yep. I really enjoy, I like a biography, and I like a memoir probably more right. than any other style.
Yeah, right now I'm reading the Fred Rogers, the biography. The Jeff Tweedy's memoir from
yeah.
Wilco.
Oh yeah.
And then this other book, it's about what's it called? It's about meditation and spirituality that my sister-in-law gave me last Christmas, and I wanted to make sure I read at least some of it before I saw her again at Christmas. Yeah.
So I was going to give you credit for having enormous depth a moment ago.
Oh, I'm about as deep as a puddle. Don't give me any credit.
Okay, if this is just to show off for your sister and let her know that you use the gift, okay, well, we'll take a little credit away, but still.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn that. And then I also got another book, Michael Pollan, I think is
sure.
the book.
Yeah.
Talks about psychedelics and how that's affected the future and
right.
whatnot.
Yeah, Michael Pollan is very much about what we put in our bodies, whether it's food, psychedelics, drugs, whatever, and how they can either hurt us or help us. And in the psychedelic book, he suggests that, in fact, some of the psychedelics can actually help us quite a bit, right? He's in the very
yeah,
in the Timothy Leary camp.
Right. I haven't started yet, but my the singer friend of mine, of course, a musician was like, yeah, you got to read this. It changed his life.
Right.
And it's made him more appreciative of the drugs he does. And he's like, and it rationalizes it for his creativity.
And I have to say that for a lot of the kids I work with and the young adults, it rationalizes it for them as well. But I don't know if they're all thinking Michael Pollan-like when they take the psychedelics.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I've dabbled in drugs. I'm not going to lie to you. I was a musician for a long time, but those are things I haven't done the cool kid stuff. But you haven't even drank, which we talked about.
I haven't. No. And
how was your wife say about that?
So Julie would say, I think that it's nice to have a designated driver perpetually for 27 years of your life. That's always a good thing. But I think she would also say, man, I wonder what it would be like if you had a drink. I think it would be perfectly fine, and I bet it would be kind of fun. And so I play with that in my mind and debate it frequently, and I think at some point I'm going to be the 70-year-old doing a keg stand at some block party, and she's going to wonder, like, what did I get into here?
Yeah, the question's going to be, and for me, I was always afraid to go back and do drugs for the first time later. There were certain drugs I'm like, oh, I wish I did ecstasy, and I wish I did shrooms.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, it's too late for me to do it now. But give us a call. Give us your thoughts on how that affects, whether drugs and alcohol affects your relationship positively or negatively. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about that after this break. You're listening to WGN Radio. My name is Paul Farvar.
And I'm Dr. John Duffy.
We are talking about relationships and how shows, movies, books, your taste in music, your taste in teams affects a relationship. Also, we're talking about drugs and alcohol in relationships. 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in or if you have questions for the experts here. Again, between us, we have 27 years of
clinical experience
clinical experience.
Yeah, we are ready for your calls.
We know what we're talking about. Andrea's laughing. I can see her.
Oh my gosh. Your producer was just telling me that I stepped on. You were wanting to chit chat. I just started the newscast. I have this weird like bug in my head. Like when I hear news, it's like go. It's like food, eat.
It's okay.
News
we
talk.
Just wanted to say hi.
I love you guys. I had to step out. I'm sorry before. Our engineer Krista was giving me Christmas cookies. Oh my God.
We'll have to get some of those.
Have you gotten Christmas cookies like in a tin or a nice little bag? I haven't gotten this in years.
We have neighbors who deliver us cookies every year, and we are terrible at returning that favor. So
why don't you just take the cookies and put it in like a new package? And just
I thought maybe
like,
if I mentioned their name on the radio, sure. Would that do it?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I was going to offer you guys some of mine, but they're sealed until Christmas Eve.
I see that. Yeah.
I'll be in 5 minutes.
Why do they have to be sealed? I don't. Okay, cool.
I'll be right in.
Because nobody gives me cookies. None of my neighbors. No, I feel like I've been in my building for 19 years, and I've had different neighbors over that time frame, and like nobody talks to me.
Is that right?
I'm like the evil neighbor, but
we had an assistant here. Do you guys remember a woman by the name of Carol Hankner? She was here for 55 years.
Wow.
And, yeah, she would make every person on the staff, and at one point, you know, we had like 75 people, everybody in the offices, on the air. She would make these mini Christmas cookies, so you know, like the peanut butter ones with the kisses in the middle.
Oh yeah,
they'd be like the size of an M&M, or you know, the chocolate covered pretzels, but again, those would be like the size of a dime. So it was all your regular Christmas cookies, but she baked for so many people that she made the mini version. Oh my God, they were so cute.
Oh, man, now I'm getting hungry.
And with the mini version, you can convince yourself, like, okay, this is fine. I can have a few of these.
Right. I can have, like, 10.
Yeah.
And it's one.
That's not accurate, though, is it?
No. Makes me feel better.
Yeah. You know, even if the ratio doesn't work, it makes you feel better.
I always will take cookies and presents and everything. And anytime, by the way, speaking of living in the same place for 19 years, Dr. Duffy has analyzed me being single, and the people often would say it's a fear of commitment. I've committed to living in the same place for 19 years, so it's not that.
This is true. We could also argue, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, that's a lack of willingness to change and grow. But I think we're going to go with that you are a very committed man and that you have decided to really commit to your apartment.
We'll talk more about that. And Andrea, we'll talk to you about the SAG Awards, because I know you are very in tune with TV shows. You and Patty always talk about shows that I've never seen. But we are taking calls right now, 312-981-7200 for relationship stuff, questions, and all that. We do have a call right now. By the way, we want to welcome our new engineer Sam Martino. Hey Sam, how are you doing? He wasn't ready to talk.
He's eating his cookies.
Well, welcome
too.
Sam, nonetheless.
Well, regardless, we'll talk to you a little bit. Sam, welcome to the WGN family. And can you chat? We got a call from Chris. Chris, Chris, are you there?
Chris, can we? Are you there? Can you hear us?
Can you patch in Chris for us? There he is. Hey, Chris.
Hey. My fiance and I, we've been together 10 years now, and she was addicted to pain pills. And about 4 years ago, she seen a doctor, and they put her on Suboxone.
Yep.
And she's still on Suboxone. No end in sight.
Got it. Yep.
Since then, she's come down with MS. And can't drive, so I'm kind of her only method of transportation back and forth from her doctor's visits. And, our daughter has tried to commit suicide a couple times and is her hair can be out of place, and it's the end of the world.
Wow.
It started affecting my employment. You know, I've had to take off work a lot to take her to the doctor or to take Sam to therapy or different things.
Right.
And it seems like she feels like when I'm, like tonight, I've worked 13 hours today. And wow. It seems like she feels like when I'm trying to work and earn us a living that I'm trying to be away from home.
Mm. Yeah. My gosh, Chris, when I think about the major stressors that we can go through, I can't think of many that you haven't been through in the last 10 years. And I think about families in crisis and relationships in crisis. And whenever somebody is addicted, whether it's to the initial drug or to a drug that's supposed to help them wean off that initial drug like Suboxone, you know, you're still in this state of crisis. And probably I'm going to read into this that you're probably in some state of anxiety that you could fall back into, right? That same situation. Meanwhile, your daughter is suffering as well. Can I ask if you've gone through any family therapy together?
Yes and no. We took a week-long class, and
No. Oh, you know what, Chris? We're losing you a little bit, but you know, I think you've given us enough to work with that we can kind of speak to your situation a little bit here. And like I was saying a moment ago, your family is kind of perennially going through crisis, and that is not tenable over time. The fact that you are still engaged in this relationship and literally engaged 10 years later, while this has been going on, is striking and remarkable and pretty impressive to me. But what I strongly recommend is two things. First of all, I think if you want your family to stay together, you need to get some family therapy. I think your fiance needs a new medication evaluation just to make sure that the program that she's on now is working for you and her family. This seems like an awfully long time to be on these medications that are, you know, highly addictive. And I also strongly urge you to make sure that your daughter get individual therapy as well, because I can only imagine that she's going through quite a bit too. And if you do all that, I think you've got a shot at holding your family together. I really do. But it's going to take kind of a multi-prong approach. And sometimes we get lulled into the idea of, you know, we can make it through another day or another week or month or year. But the fact that you called suggests to me that it's time to take some action. So I would go for it in 2019. I would make this the year of Chris's family and do a few things differently. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Chris, for the call. You're listening to WGN Radio with Dr. John Duffy.
And Paul Farvar, Esquire.
Esquire. I like that you say Esquire. It reminds me of Patty Vasquez always says that to me.
I definitely borrowed that from Patty. I think it sounds cool. I think it makes you sound cool.
And it also, for those that were wondering what our degrees are, then people know I'm not just saying Esquire like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
It's a real thing.
I actually have a law degree.
That's right.
Which qualifies me to talk about a couple things. Maybe not some of the things that you delved into, Dr. Duffy, but the fact that I do have a very successful podcast, which is in the top 1,022 podcasts in France right now. So
right on.
I don't know what to tell you. Singles only podcast, weekly podcast on iTunes. We talk about relationships. We were talking about a lot of things. We were talking about drugs and alcohol in a relationship. And Dr. Duffy revealed that he has never had a drop of alcohol.
No.
And I have recently, not that recently. I used to drink, 4 times a week to excess.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah.
And then I developed ulcers, so I had to, like, my doctor was like, yeah, you're not 20 anymore. You can't do that. And then I cut back my drinking And then a friend of mine went sober, and I was like, I'm going to do that too. And I went sober for the most part. I have like my own like rules. Like I'll drink once a month, and when I do, it's fun.
It's fun. It's a pretty good. Your tolerance is low.
It's low tolerance, and I apparently am. People are like, oh, I missed that, Paul. But it does come up in dating and in relationships. I know. It's a turnoff for people that go out with me because they'll always say, oh, do you mind if I drink? I'm like, no, go ahead. I'm not like, I don't care.
Right.
But they're like, well, I don't want to drink by myself.
Yeah.
Do you get that a lot with your situation?
No. Julie is comfortable drinking if I'm not drinking.
Okay.
You know, that it was established early on. And we've kind of found a rhythm where we can have a whole lot of fun with it. And as a person who never drank, I enjoy being with people who are drinking a lot of the time because it gives me the opportunity. I can really be pretty ridiculous by the end of a night and nobody cares. You know, if people are drinking, if I'm at a party and people are drinking, you know, and that there are Christmas parties coming up and that's going to happen, nobody cares and everybody kind of lets me do my thing too. And, you know, and I can kind of take note of what's happening and remind everybody, this is what happened last night. Here's where your keys are.
You're like taking notes. You're like the secretary.
Exactly.
If you got thoughts on drugs and alcohol in a relationship, 312-981-7200. For me, I actually was dating a girl that drank to excess. I met her when I was sobering up.
Yeah.
But I also met her at a bar called Ties Till 4 in the Morning, which is a bar that's open till 4 in the morning. So weird that the relationship didn't work out. But
right.
But the point is that like she likes to drink. She liked to drink. And it was to the point where anytime we went out, she was not just drinking, but like
heavily drinking.
Yeah. And that put a damper on the relationship.
Yeah.
And we were talking about movies, and one of the movies that I thought of that covers this issue and goes into something that the caller was talking about that you said that you see in the room.
Yeah.
That's for those of you who don't know what that means, that's what it's
that's
it's,
a clinical term that Paul and I use.
I can use it now.
We can both use it. We're talking about what happens in the room.
In the room with a therapist, licensed therapist, not an esquire. But
without being specific to any one client or anything, we're talking about broadly speaking what sometimes happens in the room.
Right. And one of those things that comes up is carrying your spouse in a hard time, whether it's alcohol or drug related. And one movie that covered that was a movie with Meg Ryan and Andy Garcia called When a Man Loves a Woman.
Such a great movie.
I thought it was a good movie. Oh. It didn't get any props.
No, but it really captured what that's like when there's addiction or just overuse of a drug in a relationship and how toxic that can be. And what I thought was really great about that movie is it had dimension to it. So it wasn't just about a villain and somebody trying to carry the villain. Everybody was kind of trying their best. And it's really hard. It's really hard to get past an addiction. And when you have a partner, sometimes it's easier. Sometimes it's harder, you know, because you feel like, oh, I got to do this for this person instead of getting sober for myself. It's very difficult to kind of draw that line,
yeah.
I think. You know?
And that's something that's it's interesting to see how people, depending on where you are in the relationship, whether you stay in it or you walk away.
Right.
Obviously, in the movie, they were married. And did they have a kid? I don't even remember.
I pictured that they had a child. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're married or you're in a serious relationship, you obviously are going to make it work. In my situation, it was a summer fling. It was a 1 month, 2 month in. We're like, yeah, this isn't worth sticking around for her or for me,
right? Because
we were never on the same page. And and Chris Rock has a bit on that too. Back then, he's like, if you got to be on the same page with who you're dating. If you love crack, they gotta love crack. Like, it's a Chris Rock quote, and it's true. I think that's something that that sometimes is true. In your case, it didn't matter.
And I have worked with people for whom I think that, you know, they found their level together and it worked really well. I've also worked with people who devolved together into addiction. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that can happen as well. And when you have a partner kind of
enabling you
and almost like encouraging you, you create this little culture of two, and you don't really look outside of it to think like, ooh, maybe this is not working for either of us.
You need a voice of reason to be like, maybe we shouldn't be drinking at 7 a.m. or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly.
From the 219, 13 years ago, I used to smoke a lot of pot in social gatherings. One night, the girl I was dating said, said, I don't like you doing this. I stopped that night, and we have been happily married for 11 years.
That is a remarkable story. First of all, it's a rare story, right? To hear the words and decide, boy, I'm not willing to lose this person to this drug. I'm going to change on the spot, on a dime. Kudos to you, because that takes a lot of fortitude. And maybe you were ready 13 years ago to give that up. That's a great thing. I think for a lot of people, it is not so easy. And it's a process to give up the drug, especially cold turkey like you apparently did, which is impressive. But there are ways to kind of taper off or quit doing drugs systematically and programmatically that work as well.
Also, pot 13 years ago was totally crappy too. Let's remember. I mean, that's when I was smoking pot, and you had to take like 5 to 10 hits to get high. Now the kids these days have some pot. It's pretty strong.
We might want to take on pot one night and talk about it, because
we should just smoke for the show.
Well, somebody mentioned that it was very foggy out, and wondering maybe that we made that happen. But the what's changed in pot in the last 15, 20 years, the potency of it is a different drug than what you smoked.
So I quit smoking pot back in 2000, I think. It's been a while. But I mean, it's for those people who don't know me, I used to be a musician. I was in the music industry. I drank and smoked a lot of pot. It's common. It's what you have to do. It's part of the getting your when you become a musician, it's part of the requirements.
Can I totally confess something to you guys?
Yeah, go ahead, Andre.
Oh, please.
And people make fun of me for this.
I have never smoked
pot in my life.
I believe it.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would you say that?
Because you seem like you're a responsible person.
But you know what? I notice it now, like on the bike path. You know, I can, or if you're driving on the Kennedy or even the Dan Ryan, don't you notice, if someone blows past you or if you're stuck in traffic, you get a big whiff of it?
Absolutely. Yes.
That's the bad pot, though.
I think that is like because skunk. It smells so skunky.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
That's the good pot. The skunk pot is what smells good, I think.
Is that right? Because I thought the bad pot smelled like skunk.
I don't know. I think it's skunk weed. There's certain kinds that are good and have a good dosage. I feel like some of the producers are staring at us. They're like, they want to chime in, but like, I don't want to talk about this because it's going to affect my job.
And I'm
squares. They don't know what they're talking about.
It's radio.
About.
They're fine.
And I have to admit that I'm in the same club you are. And I honestly don't know whether the skunk pot is the good pot or the bad pot.
I'm going to Google it.
I don't know, but we'll have to get some and decide. But I hadn't smoked pot in a while.
Right.
And my friend, one of my best friends, got married, and I was the best man in the wedding. And we were in California where it's legal. And they had a vape pen with marijuana in it.
Right.
And I'll take a hit. And I took a big hit, and their eyes just all lit up like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's not my first rodeo. He's like, this is totally different than the pot we smoked in high school.
Uh-huh.
And that's the last thing I remember that night. Like, I went on a weird, weird trip in San Francisco that I don't want to, I don't remember a lot about it.
Listen to Mr. Farivar's tips, kids. Do not overindulge, even with the vape pen.
The 870 disagrees with us, saying that there was some really decent pot in the 70s and 80s. I don't know, sir. I think, or ma'am, I think you need to go hang out with the kids. They're smoking some good stuff.
Or it's just tied to really good memories for you. Maybe a Woodstock type memories, that kind of sepia toned, awesome memories from the days of yore.
The music was better back then, and perhaps that's why you thought the pot was good,
right,
as well.
Right. Maybe that's what fueled it.
We got some callers that want to chime in here. I think Gene wants to mention a movie we're talking about. Hey, Gene, are you there? Gene?
Gene, can you hear us?
Gene? All right. I think we lost you, Gene.
Gene, call us back. We want to hear what film you had in mind.
Someone also texted about the movies we were talking about while we were talking about When a Man Loves a Woman. 815 asked, was that a remake of Days of Wine and Roses? Was it?
I don't know. You mean the Andy Garcia movie?
Yeah, then? I don't know. Andrea, do you know anything about if it was a remake, When a Man Loves a Woman with...
I don't know if that was a remake or not. You know what? There was a movie called with Meg Ryan and Andy Garcia
years
ago.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Was it a remake of an old movie? We'll find out.
That's
we'll find
really
out for
question.
You, 815, because we're nothing if we're not accurate here
that's
at WGN.
Right. We do our research.
We're going to take a break here. More in a minute on WGN Radio. You're listening live to WGN with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farvar. That's me. We were talking about pot, and a lot of texters confirm what I said, that the skunk is the good pot.
This is true. And man, people are very, very invested in this. We are getting some activity.
Here's the thing. If there's three people in a room, one's a therapist, one's a journalist, and one's a lawyer, and you're talking about pot, the lawyer's going to know the most. It's just the way it works. Or a former musician.
That is true. Probably.
But yeah, we did confirm that skunk weed is the good weed, generally speaking. A lot of people chimed in. So thank you guys for checking in with us, even though it's not 420. We appreciate it.
That's right.
And we were also talking about, let's see here. Oh, we got more. You know what? We got to go back to Jean. We did get Jean connected again. She wanted to talk about the movies we were talking about. Jean, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, and Jean. I don't have much to say, except there was a movie that came out in the late 50s, early 60s called Days of Wine and Roses. I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
Yeah.
And it had Lee Remick in it. And Jack, oh God, names are going.
Jack Lemmon?
Yes. Yep. Yes. And I am telling you, if that isn't one of the most just stunning examples of the kinds of things that can happen with a couple. When drinking starts off as, you know, just casual and fun, and just the relationship, it just goes to hell in a handbasket. It really is a fascinating movie.
I vaguely remember that movie, Jean. And,
thanks, Jean, for the call.
Yeah, and that, and I remember how beautifully acted it was, and it has the same feel as this movie, When a Man Loves a Woman, that we're talking about.
Yeah, some of the texts are coming in saying that it sounds like the same movie.
Yeah.
Days of Wine and Roses with Lee Remick and Jack Lemmon. It's a 60s, they say they believe is the original movie.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and heartbreaking stuff, right? Where a relationship devolves when it's actually a really loving, beautiful relationship, and yet addiction comes, rears its ugly head.
Speaking of addiction, 847 says, I've never smoked anything, don't drink, rather eat my sugar. And Meg Ryan was married to Dennis Quaid, who was on Lutz for 10 years, and now she's addicted to plastic surgery.
Wow. A lot to unpack there.
But hey, it's a good movie. We were talking about movies earlier, and one thing that you and I both agree on, which is rare,
yes.
But one of the best movies of all time. They covered a little addiction in there, although not a lot. I guess not really. Ordinary People.
Yeah,
One of the greatest movies of all time.
Probably, certainly one of my top three, without question. Yeah, in part for me because it depicted how a family works in crisis. Better than any movie I've ever seen, period.
Yeah.
And I also just loved
Judd Hirsch.
I wanted to be Judd Hirsch, and I thought Mary Tyler Moore's performance as the mom was so real and authentic and painful, and somehow I'm drawn to that. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that's when I was when I used to watch more movies, and we were talking about SAG Awards before that were announced today, and the movies, the best outstanding performance for a male actor was they've got a bunch here. What is the one for the where do they get the best movies? Do we have the list here of the best movies of the year? Do they not have that category?
They have outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay,
there you go.
A Star Is Born, Black Panther.
Yeah. Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Crazy Rich Asians. I've actually seen more of these films than I thought I had.
I've only seen one.
I've only seen one.
The Queen one? Right? What'd you see, Andre?
Black Panther.
I need to see that.
It's good, and I want to see the Queen one, too.
Queen one was good. It's no Fred Rogers documentary, but it's definitely good.
And I saw Star Is Born. I thought that was amazing.
Everyone's saying
really,
that.
Yeah, really, I gotta see that.
I'm not sure what brought Bradley Cooper to want to make this film, because it does feel very much like a remake of the older versions. But man, is it beautifully done!
I mean, saw the one with Barbara Streisand.
Yeah,
Did you go back and watch it and think?
I didn't, but I remember seeing it and remember it was striking. I will say the couple of moments, the Lady Gaga, when she first becomes Lady Gaga and that voice comes out in the movie, man, does that take you? That just owns you for a few minutes there. It's breathtaking.
Now, do you like the movie? And did you see it, Andrea? Did you see A Star Is Born?
I did not, and okay. I need to. It's on my list, for sure.
It's on my list, too. Maybe I'll go see it over the holidays, but... When you see that movie, John, did you like the movie because of the voice and the singing, or the storyline was good too?
I did not love the storyline, to be honest with you. I liked the voices. I liked the beginning of the movie. And I thought it was a revelation to see him perform and to see her act. I thought it was really cool that they kind of crossbred like that and that it worked so beautifully. Their chemistry was amazing. Yeah,
I don't know. Now what you said there is telling, and now I don't know if I want to see it anymore. Do you like musicals too? Then
I like the occasional musical. I'm not drawn to musicals.
I don't like musicals.
You guys didn't like Chicago?
No,
like I was Moulin like, Rouge.
No, I saw the ABBA one, Mamma Mia.
I like that. I know most people didn't.
Well, now you bring up Moulin Rouge in Chicago, and I'm thinking, Andrea, like, oh, yeah, maybe I do like musicals.
Chicago was so good.
So good. And I don't know if you saw Across the Universe years ago with the Beatles songs.
No, I did not.
Oh, my God. It brought all these songs back to life. I loved that musical.
Well, we'll talk more about the SAG awards and the movies that we didn't see and which ones we should see, according to John Duffy, our resident expert, and Andrea Darlis. More in a minute on WGN. Listening to WGN with Dr. John Duffy and myself, Paul Farvar, our engineer, Sam Martino, playing U2. He doesn't know this, but we have a no U2 rule on the bumps because I can't stand them anymore. Because when I stopped smoking pot, that's probably why.
That's when U2 fell away for you?
I don't know. But funny, we did a podcast, Two Guys, One Album, which is on the WGN podcast. I run with Michael Heidemann, and we did the new U2 album, and people didn't listen to it. And it got retweeted by the U2 fan club. It was a new album, first of all. So
this was not the one that showed up on everybody's phone all at once.
No. This is the new one that came out in the last year or two. And we kind of pooped on it a little bit. We made fun of it for a while, but people retweeted it, not listening to it, thinking that we were gonna love the album,
right?
So we had a lot of hate mail from U2 fans. Like, and most of it was directed at me because I was pretty harsh on the album. But again, I used to like U2 when I was younger, and those old albums are great, but the new one.
And I have to admit, U2 is one of those bands that I feel like you're supposed to love them. I'm supposed to love U2, and I can.
Yeah.
I don't love them. There's a few bands I still feel like I need to see. U2 is not on my have to see list.
I saw them in concert for the Zooropa tour, and I think that's when I gave up on them. I was like,
is that right?
It's not. I used to love them as a kid. I loved
like Joshua Tree stuff.
Yeah, Joshua Tree, Unforgettable Fire.
Oh yeah,
I loved them back then, but. It's one of those things that, you know, it doesn't stand the test of time. And you know what? I'll fight you on it if you disagree with me.
I just feel like U2 sounds too much like U2 too often.
That's right. Yeah, they never reinvented themselves, and they went back to the, and hey, don't blame them for it. They did what
it's
worked
for them.
It's a
formula that works, right?
Formula that works.
And a lot of people love them.
Formula that works. We're talking about the SAG Awards, 312-981-7200. And we got a caller, Nancy. You want to talk about movies with us? Hey, Nancy, you there?
Yes, I am. First of all, I really did not like A Star Is Born. I thought, I frankly thought the acting was just overacting. What I really find offensive is Octavia Spencer being blacklisted or ignored for her performance in Widows. She literally was the movie, and she was completely snubbed. I saw Can You Ever Forgive Me just yesterday or the day before, and it was strange to see Melissa McCarthy in such a serious role, but she really did a fine job.
So you didn't get lost in the comedy? You didn't expect her to be funny like in any given moment?
Exactly. No, she was never funny. You know, it was an eye opener. It really was.
Yeah.
I can't say I liked the movie. It held my attention, but probably because I really wasn't following it that well. But as far as I think Bohemian Rhapsody was amazing.
Yeah,
and
I
never followed Queen. I never did. Now I've got their CDs.
I think that's happening with a lot of people. I think Queen has really had a resurgence of new fans, young fans. I work with a lot of, you know, 14-year-olds who come into therapy sessions wearing Queen t-shirts.
Thanks,
really?
Nancy, for the call. We appreciate the call, Nancy. Thank you. Yeah, I thought Queen movie was pretty good. I think it was a little too long,
uh-huh.
But I definitely, again, Queen is one of my favorite bands of all time, and I was like, okay, maybe it'll be a good movie. And obviously, they did the Hollywood version of the Freddie Mercury story.
Right, of course.
Having read the biography about him. But yeah, it's a good movie.
Is it?
Did you see that Variety named Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody the most streamed song of the 20th century yesterday?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Makes sense. Yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the movie came out, iTunes listed that it went up this. It was up on the charts again. So good for them.
When you think about so much music now today is written by committee, and that one man sat down and wrote that operatic song.
Yeah.
It's just, it's unbelievable, really.
Well, Freddie wrote it out, but Brian May's contribution on guitar is a huge, huge part of the song.
Oh,
but,
yeah. That guitar bit is unbelievable.
It's a good movie, and Rami Malek, who plays Freddie Mercury, got a nod with SAG for Outstanding Male Actor in Leading Role. Also, Bradley Cooper, Star Born, got
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and I know our caller was not a big fan. I did think he deserved that. He was unrecognizable. If you hear him sing in this thing, you don't recognize his voice. It's gravelly, and it seems worn, and he really does seem like a guy who's been through it.
You know what movie he was good in? Silver Linings Playbook.
Great movie.
Such a good movie.
Yes.
I love that movie, and I kind of you know, did he get an award for that?
I don't know, but I know there were a couple of movies he made with the same director and Jennifer Lawrence, and something about that pairing seems to work, or that trio.
John David Washington, Black Klansman, he got a nod for outstanding performance in SAG.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen, Green Book. But the one that I think is going to win, and have not seen this movie, is Christian Bale, Vice.
And I haven't seen the movie either, but you and I have both seen the trailer, right?
Yes.
And you need to see Christian Bale play Dick Cheney for about 2 seconds before you realize, oh, there's
yeah,
the Oscar. That's an Oscar right there.
How does he? And it's funny because I watched it and I was like, who is that playing him? The first time I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to win.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and that guy, I can now officially not think of anybody on the planet he can't play.
Yeah, right. And then we got for outstanding performances by female actor in a leading role, Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me? As the caller said,
yeah.
Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born.
Well-deserved for sure.
Glenn Close and The Wife. I feel like they just give, she could just be in anything and they're going to be like, well, we got it now.
She's Meryl Streepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman, The Favorite. I don't even know what movie that is.
I don't know either.
Emily Blunt, Mary Poppins Returns.
That seems to be that's popular among the kids I work with for sure. They love it.
Amy Adams is in Vice as well as supporting role. Do we know what she plays in the movie?
I don't know who she plays in the movie. I know I can picture there's somebody playing W, and there's somebody playing a couple of the other players behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it does seem like it's Christian Bale's movie.
When does that come out? I gotta see that.
It comes out pretty soon, I think.
It.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm gonna be in Florida for a week doing shows now. Originally, I wasn't booked. I'm gonna go see my family, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna see all these movies. But now, thankfully, I got booked to do comedy there. But I gotta go watch these during the day. Maybe I'll rain one day and I'll go see Vice. And I don't know if I'm gonna see A Star Is Born now. I think you
did. I talk you out of it.
You did.
No kidding.
Because
that
you
was
said,
easy.
Well, because you were talking about the music being great. I'm like, I don't. If I want to go to a movie to watch music, then something's wrong. I'll go see a live concert. I'll go see Rattle and Hum, you too.
Right. No, I get it. Okay, fair enough. This may not be your jam. It's very possible.
But everyone's talking about it and saying it's great. So maybe I will see it, and then we'll decide from there. We were talking about other situation. By the way, the love line is still open. 312-981-7200. Two experts here. 27 years of therapy with Dr. John Duffy and 40 years of being single on my side. So we know about relationships. I don't know what else to tell you. We know what to do, when to walk away, when to walk in. I think we've covered it all.
But give us a call and we'll see if we can help.
But one thing that you told me about that I didn't know about was divorce ceremonies. What is a divorce ceremony, John?
So I don't know if this is an artifact of the conscious uncoupling thing that Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin tried to get away with a few years ago. They got so much flack for. But more and more people, out of respect for the marriage that actually took place, have these divorce ceremonies where on the very, very best of possible terms and out of respect for their relationship, they decide to have an uncoupling ceremony and divorce. And sometimes there are people present, and sometimes there are they get all dressed up. Sometimes there's an actual party with a band, and I'm not kidding.
Both parties come? Do they have to be present?
Yeah. Both parties are present, and it's this is a growing trend. This is a thing that is starting to happen. Yeah,
I feel like that's a dangerous situation. Is there a danger to that?
Well, I do, but let's see if we're thinking of the same danger. What do you picture?
I'm picturing there's a divorce ceremony where one person isn't necessarily on board with the divorce.
Right.
And I'm guessing, having never been divorced, that at least that's usually the case.
More often than not, somebody has got the foot out the door further than the other person.
Correct.
That's for sure true. Yeah.
So then why would they, if the person who was still invested in the relationship, why would they agree to a divorce ceremony? What do they get out of this?
My hunch is that this started with people who had children. And so to show them that you can still maintain affection for a person and respect the relationship and have a loving relationship and still separate and divorce in a healthy way, I suspect that it was parents that came up with this idea. But more and more, it's happening with people who have just been married for a brief period of time and have no kids.
How would that benefit the kid to have to go through that?
I'm not sure it would in all cases, but I can see where... kids like to see when their parents get along.
Okay.
But I will say that there is potential for this to be a confusing thing for kids,
yeah,
too, for sure. Yeah. If mom and dad are so close to each other, you love each other so much, why is this even happening in the first place?
Why do they want to publicize the fact that they're separating, too? I would think that that's another issue.
And that was addressed in one article I read that suggested that to eliminate the taboo around the idea of getting divorced, given that half of marriages or somewhere thereabouts ends in divorce, we're going to actually celebrate that instead of put it in the margins and ignore the fact that it happened and kind of offer that kind of, oh, I'm so sorry kind of vibe to it.
I feel like this started in Los Angeles. Is that right? Is this something that started in LA?
This could very well be a coastal beginning. I think you're right about that, actually,
or
to be honest.
Or somewhere.
I think it's a West Coast beginning, yes.
I feel like it's definitely something on the West Coast, and it's also something that was to generate a hashtag and also to get some selfies at Instagram.
By
the way, if you want to follow us on Instagram, you should.
It's
Paul Farver and Dr. John Duffy.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Do you think this is something that will catch on, or do you think this is over?
I don't know. We'll talk about it. You know what? Give us a call and tell us whether you're pro or con divorce ceremonies. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a break. Coming up, the stories that matter with Andrea Darlis from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. You are listening to WGN Radio. Dr. John Duffy
And Mr. Paul Farvar, Esquire, in the house.
Esquire. We were talking about divorce ceremonies. By the way, the love line is still open. 312-981-7200. If you have anything to do with relationships, questions, you've got questions and concerns, give us a call. We have the answers. We are basically dating coaches.
Love doctors, maybe.
Love doctors.
Love doctors, yeah, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I feel like, look, you can go on the, you can go Google dating coach or life coach and spend your money, or you can call in. And not only, we're going to have contests. We're going to give away Lou Malnati's pizzas, tickets to the Drink Date Laugh show at the Laugh Factory every Friday at 8 p.m. with your host, Paul Farvar.
Go figure.
But yeah, and 773 asks, are we still taking relationship texts? Yeah, we are.
Absolutely. All
text
night
us,
long.
312-981-7200. We were talking about divorce ceremonies, which I believe was started in West Hollywood.
you've pinpointed it now to West Hollywood specifically.
The first, so if the 217 said, the first word that I thought of when you mentioned divorce ceremony is ostentatious.
Ostentatious, right.
I don't know what that word is. I got a 24 on my ACT. That's not a compliment.
Not a compliment.
Tell us what that word is.
Yeah, so ostentatious. So this is obnoxious. This is snotty. This is a little bit elitist. And clearly you text her in 217. You are not buying it at all. I think that Paul and I are willing to join you in that arena to some extent. I would agree that it might not be the healthiest thing. And I am picturing, as we sat during the break and I was picturing what a divorce ceremony is like, I'm picturing if I get invited to a divorce ceremony, what is expected of me?
Who officiates?
Who officiates? Do we bring a gift? Do we take a gift back?
I feel like, I always wondered when my friends get separated, which happens a lot. 50% of my friends who are married are no longer married, along with the stats. Don't I get my present back? Like, especially if it was like something cool that I liked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I guess not, huh?
It doesn't happen. I mean, I've never, ever heard of it happening. But it's... I think the divorce ceremony might be a bit ostentatious. I also think it's an ill-placed idea. I actually think the way we manage divorce on the whole works pretty well. I told
don't
you,
ask, don't tell?
Just that fall.
What were you going to say?
Well, I had told you a story a while ago. I think we talked on the air about my wife was married once before for a brief period of time to a far lesser man, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Okay.
No, to a very, very nice man, and handled it with a lot of grace without a divorce ceremony. They just went out to lunch after their divorce was finalized and had a very respectful hour and a half and talked about their relationship and reminisced a little bit and said their goodbyes. And that was, I think that's a really lovely way to handle a divorce. A ceremony, I'm having trouble wrapping my brain around the utility of that.
Unless it was like comical, I think it would be fun to like go to like a comedy show and be like, this is going to be our divorce party. And then have everybody like talking about, have all the comedians talk about the situation, sit in the front row.
The comic relief of a divorce ceremony, suddenly that holds a bit of appeal instead of taking it really, really heavy.
Well, we talk about my show, Drink Day Laugh, shameless plug. Fridays, we talk about dating and breakups and things of that nature. And one of the things that I always say when I host the show, whether it's Drink Day Laugh or anything, is anyone celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, divorce? I said it jokingly at first.
Yeah.
But then there are people that are out celebrating. Like, it's their first night out as a single person.
Right.
They recently got a divorce and they're partying. So that makes sense. That's the divorce ceremony.
But isn't that the flip side of the bachelorette or bachelor party? Isn't that somebody going out with their same-sex friends and celebrating the fact that you are now single again?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm trying to picture
it's like a reverse
couple.
Bachelor party.
Yeah.
So in comedy clubs, and for those that aren't comedians, we always get a bachelor or bachelorette party. It's just part of the business.
Part of the landscape, huh?
And you always hate to have that. Because if you tell a comedian, like, there's a bachelorette party, you're like, oh.
Why? Why is that?
They're
not
usually
good?
Obnoxious. They need attention. It's something that takes away from the show. So the reverse of that would be a divorce-ette party.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Divorce, divorcee, an ostentatious party, if you will. And I think that would be something that comedians could look forward to. But we'll talk about it. We're going to take a break. 312-981-7200. Give us a call with your thoughts on divorce ceremonies. We're also going to be talking about other relationship issues and taking your calls and questions or concerns about dating from us, the experts. You are listening to WGN with Dr. John Duffy
and Paul Farvar Esquire.
Every time I'm an Esquire.
Yeah,
still.
For sure. I want you to get that cred.
We got, we're talking about divorce ceremonies. If you want to call and chime in on that, 312-981-7200. Also at 9:15, we have from the dead, Harry Carey. We're going to play a game called Stump Harry Carey. If you call in and you think you could stump him with some Cubs trivia or any trivia, we've got different categories. Give us a call, 312-981-7200 at 9:15. And
what
that's
a special treat, right? You're going to talk to Harry Carey years after he's passed.
Yeah, you can hear and you can try to stump him with trivia. If you win, if you stump him, you will get Illuminati's Pizza, $25 gift card for new Illuminati's Pizza, or drink date laugh tickets for the Laugh Factory. Depending on the question, we'll decide who wins what at that point.
Both excellent prizes. You can't miss.
But we're still talking about divorce ceremonies, and people seem to have strong opinions of that and divorce. We got texts on that, Dr. John?
Yeah. So from the 815, a really an interesting thought about this whole divorce ceremony thing. When a divorce is final, you might get together with friends to celebrate an escape and mourn a loss of what might have been. Frankly, when it is finally over, most are just thankful that it is over and just want to move on. That's a point we didn't hit on, but I think that's a really good point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's over and it's just over. A ceremony.
Walk away.
Yeah. That, sometimes things are just done and you got to call it.
I'm trying to think of something that would be like similar in life that's not marriage. Like it's like when it's over. I mean, obviously, death is, you have to have a ceremony, a funeral and whatnot. That makes sense.
I was thinking about losing a job.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't have
You don't need a cake. You don't need, if you're getting fired from a job.
You're
right?
out.
You're out.
You don't
want
to come back.
You really just want to collect your box of stuff.
And a divorce is a firing for one person, unless it's like a truly mutual divorce.
Right. Which is, as you pointed out accurately, which is a rare thing. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Usually there's an element of acrimony there, and it makes it difficult to throw a party mutually. There's another texter here from 773, making a really interesting point, too. I know so many women, 55 and older now, who married men who were sociable and very talkative at bars, parties, golfing, with men in groups, and most often drinkers. But right after getting married, they just spent the time at home, reading, watching TV, talking very little with their wives. Many wives just spent time surprised and in shock with the change in behavior and did a lot of crying to their best friends. Do you recommend living together to see what happens in the relationship before getting locked in? Almost all females I know do wish they had done that. I think this is a really interesting observation and difference between men and women. I do think that a lot of men, once they get married,
their life ends.
No, Paul, that's not where I was headed on this one.
Sorry.
That's just how I see it. What do we say about ending sentences?
We're not there yet.
We're close. A lot of guys kind of settle in. And the fun guy that I've heard this from a lot of women. The guy I married, I don't know what happened to him. He was so fun, you know, like we had such a good time. And now he's just sitting there on the couch. This is something you and I ought to tackle on a show one day and really commit to it. Because I think in a lot of ways, women are winning. They reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. They keep doing new things. Whereas men kind of start to disintegrate a little bit once they get married and it looks like it's for a lifetime.
Well, yeah, I mean the joke is when you get married, it's like, oh, you can lose your hair, you can gain weight and all that stuff, but you really have to keep it fresh to avoid one of these divorce ceremonies, it sounds like.
And it's not always, a lot of times the joke goes to both genders, but I think it relates more to men than women these days.
The 815 says a divorce ceremony, come on, so ridiculous, move on, people. We agree.
We're with you there, 815.
We agree 100%. or just don't get married. Just wait it out.
Yeah. The Paul Farvar method would suggest seriously waiting it out, right? Like, let's see what happens.
Marriage is an outdated institution. Why go through the ceremony to only have a divorce ceremony 3 to 14 years later?
Right.
Is that what the stats
are?
How
many times do you really want to register? No, I don't think the stats are 3 to 14 years. It varies a lot, honestly, Paul, depending on age. If you get married real young, you're probably going to get divorced real young. If you wait until you're about 30 or even
60,
32 like you are, you're far less likely to get divorced ever. So those statistics are a little skewed toward the young in terms of divorce.
We got a lot of texts saying that they're against this divorce ceremony. Not one person is pro.
Not one.
I bet you if the show was on the West Coast, people are like, oh, it's a great idea. Like, I have my Instagram page that's going to be all about the divorce ceremony. Bob and Becky's divorce ceremony. Like, save the date.
It's up on the fridge and waiting.
Anyway, we are going to start a segment. It's called, we've done this show before with Ryan Dempster, who is a former Cub, and we call in Harry Carey. We're going to do that again after this break. If you think you could stump Harry Carey with your trivia, give us a call, 312-981-7200 after this break. You are listening to WGN Radio with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farvar, Esquire. I'm going to just own it up.
Own it, man.
We are getting a lot of texts about divorces. We will talk about that a little later, maybe if we have time. But right now, we have summoned one of the greats from Chicago, Harry Carey. We're going to play a game called Stump Harry Carey. You're going to be able to call in 312-981-7200 for a chance to win a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate or tickets to the world famous Laugh Factory. But first, we need to summon Harry Carey. Harry Carey, are you there?
$25 to Lou Malnati's. Back in my day, that would get you about 8 pizzas and 6 beers.
Yeah, times have changed. You can't even.
What does it get you now? Like a small one topping.
Harry, we're sorry. Yeah,
we're strapped for cash here, Harry. What can we say?
We need more money.
Well, you know, times are tough these days. It's the holidays. I saw people out at the Water Tower place today at that American Girl doll store.
Yeah, what happened there? Why were you there?
They were spending their whole paycheck. My granddaughter wanted something I was looking for. I couldn't find it, so I went to the bar instead. Dutchie took care of it.
What did you have at the bar, Harry?
Yeah, just a couple of martinis. You know, it was the afternoon, so you don't want to get too crazy.
Of course.
Well, Harry, we're really thankful for you to be here and to play Stump Harry Carey. So we're going to have people call in with questions to just see if they can stump you and win this prize. You think you can handle it?
I just wondered how they got my phone number. How are they going to call me?
We don't want to tell them that. But we're gonna start open up. We've got a couple calls here, but we're going to start with some easy ones just to warm you up. Because, you know, you were at a bar all day, so I'm not sure you're, like, on your game, Harry.
I'm always on my game, Paul.
All right. Fair enough. So we're going to start with a simple one I had. Who were the starting pitchers the in 2008? What was the rotation of starting pitchers in 2008 for the Chicago Cubs?
Well, you had Carlos Zambrano, the big right-hander from Venezuela. You had Ted Lilly, that soft-throwing left-hander. By the way, he made the Hall of Fame ballot. We might want to vote for him.
Oh.
Ryan Dempster was on that list, the right-hander from Canada. And anybody who's never been to Canada before, it's a great time. The dollar's like $1.35, so it's a good exchange rate.
Other
pitchers were maybe at one point Rich Harden. They had the Canadian connection, two BC boys in that rotation.
Okay. Fair enough. You're missing one. Did you say the fifth?
I don't know. Was Sean Marshall in that? He seemed like he pitched on that team.
That's correct. That is correct.
Very impressive, Harry.
I told you, it was just an afternoon brunch. That's all it was.
Okay.
Harry, it's Dr. John Duffy here. I've got a question for you.
Hey, Doc, how's things going?
Things are great. How are you?
Oh, man, I haven't seen you since Ricky's Bar Mitzvah. That was a heck of a good time.
Yeah, so we met there, huh?
I think so, at the bar in the back corner. You know, it was an open bar, so I didn't really get to my seat much.
Right. Well, Harry, let me ask you this. What Chicago Cubs player moved from the bullpen to the rotation in 2009? This would be a pitcher.
From the bullpen to the rotation in 2009. Wow. Was that Rick Sutcliffe?
Oh, so close. It was not Rick Sutcliffe. Do you have another guess by any chance?
I'm pretty sure it was Rick Sutcliffe. I remember that.
We may have our stats.
1989. You just said it.
Dog, 2000.
Right.
What about, I think it's 2005. Was it the...
2005. Correct. 2005. So maybe it was Rick Sutcliffe in 1989.
Who's the pitcher? Here, I got one more before we take it to the calls. By the way, if you're calling, if you're just hold on the line, we're just warming up Ryan Dem.
I'll hold as long as you need me to hold, Doc.
Okay, Harry. 312-981-7200. Who was the pitcher who...
Look at you giving out my social security number to everybody. What kind of show is this? I thought I was coming up for Stump Harry. Next thing you know, my identity's going to be gone.
Oh, that's the number. It happens to also be the number for WGN Radio to
just
call in.
Just a coincidence, Harry, I swear.
Wow, who would have thought that?
312-981-7200. Okay, you think you're ready for the callers, Harry?
I sure hope so.
Okay.
Are we ever really ready for them?
We'll find out. We got a
fair existential question.
Okay. Let's see here. I don't know how. Can you? Let me see here. I got to figure out how to put this on hold. All right. Here we go. All right, Raymond, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What is your question for Harry Carey?
What Cubs pitcher graduated from Cooley High School and played professional baseball for 17 years?
Well, Harry?
Okay, did you get that question, Harry?
What high school did he say it was at?
He said Cooley High School.
Where's that at?
Ramen, can you tell us where Cooley High School is? Harry would like to know.
It's in Illinois. If I remember correctly, it's a little further down south towards Beecher.
Got it. In the Beecher area, southern Illinois, Harry.
Was it Scott Sanderson? Is that who it was?
No, it was Milt Pappas. Milt Pappas.
Oh, bad God.
Milt Pappas.
That's right. I forgot Milt went to Cooley. I thought he went to Cooley. Wow.
It's Raymond,
when you're off one number, the kind of things you can get in trouble for.
Raymond, you have successfully stumped Harry. Stay on the line, and Sam will take your information. And you have won a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Harry, what happened there?
Hey, congratulations. I told you what happened. I thought he said Cooley. He said, Cooley, you know, it's hard when I bought my phone and you guys are putting me on hold every 5 seconds. And then I come on, I can't hear Raymond talking. But you know what? Good for him. It's the holidays and now we can order some Lou Malnati's pizza delivered right to his home.
All right, but we don't have that many prizes, Harry, so we need you to step up your game. Are you drinking right now?
Well, I mean, you know, it depends on what you define as drinking. I call it sipping rather large.
Okay.
Fair enough, Harry.
Fair enough. Let's see. We have a couple questions here. Okay. This pitcher recorded, he started 10-0 with the Chicago Cubs in 2008. First pitcher to do so in 31 seasons in 2008. Who was that, Harry?
Oh, you know, it wasn't the season. It was 10-0 at home.
Oh, that's right.
That big right-hander, Ryan Dempster. I remember that.
Oh, the Canadian.
I think he tied Fergie Jenkins' record.
That is correct. You are correct.
Who coincidentally is also Canadian. It's a Canadian night here on WGN Radio.
How about that? The great Canadian baseball players, the great Canadian pitchers of all time.
Okay, so we've got a bunch of callers here. One of them, let's go to the text here. There's a line, a question from the 815, Harry, that asks, the greatest line ever spoken by Harry was on an extremely hot day and involved the Sox third baseman. Do you know what line that is?
The White Sox third baseman.
Yeah. Who is the third baseman and what was the line?
Well, the third baseman was... Oh, my goodness. I want to say it was a Latin guy, maybe from Puerto Rico.
That seems like it's certainly a possibility.
I'm drawing a blank here, guys. I you get me at my old age with my names of the ball players.
All right. Well, that's kind of a Sox question.
The line was I couldn't understand. I remember the play. I just don't remember the player.
All right.
It was the high pop foul ball. He dropped. He lost the ball in the sun. And
okay.
I just said, how can a guy from Puerto Rico lose a ball in the sun? Everybody thought it was a big deal. I don't get it.
Okay, can you stay on the line here? We got to take a break here, and we've got a bunch of calls here of people that want to try to stump you. Can you wait with us, Mr. Carey?
Yeah, I've been on hold all night. Why not? Why stop now? I got nowhere to be. I'll be right here talking to you guys. I can't wait to see what other fine questions these guys come up with tonight. This is great.
All right. Thanks, Harry.
Thanks, Harry.
Stay on the line if you want to try to stump Harry Carey. 312-981-7200. You are listening to WGN Radio. I'm Paul Farvar and Dr. John Duffy here. We are playing Stump Harry Carey. And a lot of texts coming in, a lot of calls coming in. Harry, you still with us?
You know, I gotta admit, guys, at my age, when you put me on hold that long, there's a risk that I might either fall asleep or soil myself, and I just did both.
Well, we'll let you get back to clean so you can clean up all your mess there. But a couple of comments came in here. Number one, 630 said Cooley High was in Old Town. That's what they said, and we can't dispute that. The second thing that came in, though, Harry, is someone from the 847 said that their ex sold Harry a lot of pot, and it shows. Do you have anything to say to that?
Well, ever since I watched the movie Ghost, I just got into it. You know, I don't know if it was the way Patrick Swayze, you know, was helping Demi Moore make that pottery, but I couldn't help myself. I bought a table. I got all kinds of supplies. I made some nice planters at home, and I made an ashtray for my buddy Tom Davidson. So, I was really big into the pottery for sure.
Sure, that makes sense, Harry.
That's the deal, right?
And do you have the line that someone said that you said about the White Sox, even though it's not really stumping? Do you know what the line they was we were talking about? If not, we could.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a little confused. It was Sox, Cubs, Cardinals. I wasn't sure, but the line was it was so hot on the field that the third baseman is melted.
Yeah.
But the third baseman's name was melted.
That's right. You were clever back then.
It's what we call in the industry a play on words, guys.
All right, Harry, we got a caller here that's going to try to stump you. Let's see. Ron, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Ron, you got a question for Harry Carey? Do you think you could stump him?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, a Chicago comedian always talks about your famous line, I want to know, did you actually say, hey, look at the guy in the sombrero?
Did you actually say, look at the guy in the sombrero? What?
No, the sombrero.
And then the sombrero. I'm picturing a Mexican sombrero.
Is that a
cowboy
type of
hat.
Car? Is that a vehicle or what is that? Is that the newest hot rod?
I think you're thinking of Subaru.
Oh, that's a great big hat. Right in the middle of the game, he said, "Hey, look at the guy in the sombrero."
Oh, okay.
Of course I said that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You didn't really stump him there, but okay. We got another contestant.
Well, I found it interesting. Why would he be wearing a sombrero? But you know what? It was a sunny day. Who knows? Maybe he'd rather didn't SPF up. He just wore a big hat.
Right, exactly, Harry. All right, so it looks like we might have another caller here.
Yes, Susan, are you on the line?
I am.
Okay. Susan, you got a question for Harry?
Yes. What is the name of the high school that Michael Jordan went to?
That's not really a Cubs question, but...
That's it. But you know what? Michael Jordan was a heck of an athlete, a heck of a ball player. He tried to play baseball, you know that?
Oh, right.
Right, on the White Sox.
Right.
That's right.
See?
He tried to come back.
You just saved me.
He was a beautiful athlete. He actually went to Elmsley A. Lady High School in Wilmington, North Carolina.
And that's, I think that's correct. I don't have my...
Of course
my...
it's correct, Paul. I mean, you know, I was a big... He brought so much joy and wonderful moments to the city of Chicago with all of those Bulls players. Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, Bill Weddington, all those guys.
Did you ever hang out with those guys, Harry?
One night, Will Perdue and I had a few too many one night down at the lodge. Next thing you know, we were over singing karaoke across the street. Heck of a singer Will Perdue is. If you ever see him out, ask him to sing you a serenade, you a song.
We'll have to remember to do that for sure.
All right, we got one more person that thinks they're going to stump you, Harry. And this is the last contestant. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
John, you got a question you think you can stump Harry Carey?
Yeah, Harry. On a warm April day, 17th to be exact, George Mittelwald played in a game with the Cubs. How many home runs did he hit, and what's the funny backstory behind it?
Could you repeat the name again? I couldn't quite hear you. George Mittelwald?
George Mittelwald.
Mittelwald, it sounds like. Yeah, John?
Right, Mittelwald.
What year was this, John?
1974.
1974? Are you kidding me? I don't remember.
He doesn't have a computer because he's looking it up right now.
No, he doesn't have a computer.
Who uses a computer? I only use what insiders don't. You know what? He hit two homers. They were his only two homers of his career that day.
Nope, I got you, Harry. It was three.
What?
Three home runs in one game, home game, April 17th, 1974. I was at the game. He hit three. And the backstory is he was told he wasn't going to play, so he went and partied the night before, and he hit the three home runs with a hangover.
Well, I think what happened was the night before I was out with him, and after he hit his second homer, I said, I can't believe this. I'm going home. I didn't even see the third one. I should have stayed.
All right. Well, John, you successfully stumped Harry Carey. Stay on the line. Sam's going to get your information. And you have also won a $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's Pizza. Please stay on the line. Harry, you didn't do so well. You know, in the past, you did really well. Tonight, I'm going to say you were a little off.
Well, you know, rub an eggnog could do that to you. It's a holiday season, and you throw a few down, and, you know, it gets a little foggy up there. Like I said, plus you guys are keeping me on hold so long for the news and the weather and sports.
Yeah, that might have done it, especially, if you only went to the American Girl store instead of that bar, you probably would have been on top of your game.
That's a great point, Paul. I'll try that next time I'm down there. Hey, it was great talking with you guys. Congratulations to the winners. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you so much, Harry.
We
appreciate it.
We can't
thank
you enough, Harry. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Doc.
Man, the great Harry Carey. How about
that?
That
was amazing.
It took my breath away.
Yeah, I was caught off guard. You know, in the past, he's done well. We've had him on the show. Me and former Cub Ryan Dempster had him on the show, and he crushed it.
Oh, Ryan Dempster was with him?
Yeah, he was on the show, and we called in. And we called Harry Carey, and he crushed it. There were so many people trying to stump him. Tonight, he was 1-for-4.
Well, you know, he did admit to being a little deep in eggnog, and, you know, it shows.
Yeah,
I think
maybe the hold caught him off guard. You know, he's a little ADD, I bet. I'm not really sure. But there's a lot of people that they had questions. Sorry we didn't get to – a lot of people were asking Sox questions. We are a Sox station. I understand that. So we didn't get to all those, and it wasn't intentional. We really just didn't have time. And you saw the Michael Jordan question was technically a Sox. He was a Sox.
He was a Birmingham Baron. And then a White Sox, if I remember right.
That is correct.
For a brief period. For Birmingham Baron. Bat.
Yep. Yeah. But we're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to come back with your calls. If you want to talk to us about relationship stuff, we talked about divorce ceremonies. We're going to talk about some other issues that have come up in the room, as well as, you know what, we never got to the letters portion that we talked about years ago. We might get to that, too. Stay on the radio with us, 312-981-7200.
We are back. This is Dr. John Duffy with Paul Farvar, and we are talking about relationships. And right now, we're talking about the end of relationships for a moment.
It's the end of our time here before Patty Vasquez comes back and takes over. I think we should talk about best last dates.
Best last dates.
Date with somebody.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about divorce, ending stuff, we're almost at the end of the week. It makes sense.
I've talked to a couple of kids this week about, you know, anxious that their relationships might end. And I've had to tell them, oh, they probably will one day. But, you know, you might have a really good lasting impression. So you might want to really be considerate about how you end your relationship, if in fact your relationship is going to end.
Yeah. Do you have a best last date? Are you allowed to talk about stuff like that?
Of course I am. I have two contrasting last date stories. The first one is very simple. It was a New Year's Eve. I was dating somebody I worked with, which was ill-advised at the time.
Frowned upon. By society.
And the anniversary of this is coming up soon because it was New Year's Eve. We were at a gala. Tux, long dress, the whole deal.
You were in the tux. Got
I was in the tux.
Said long dress.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying. And I don't remember what I said, but there was alcohol consumed, not on my part. And I was on the dance floor, slapped roundly across the face.
Wow.
And walked out on. And that was it. Last date. Last moment.
Slapped.
Yeah.
That's a good last date.
And it made for an awkward Monday morning at work.
312-981-7200 if you have an awkward last date. Mine I've talked about before with you, and I wanted to make it a show or an app where I went on a date with a taller Russian woman. The fact that she's Russian plays a part in the story because we realized within 5 minutes that this was going to be our first and last date.
Wow. Okay.
But there's this this thing in America where you have to be cordial and just go through the motions.
You're going to finish the process regardless.
Finish the process, get a drink, get food, whatever you have to do. And it ran its course. We were like, all right, well, you know, she talked about her work. I think she was in real estate. I talked about comedy. We're seeing if we can maybe help each other on the friend zone, you know, refer business, bring clients to comedy, whatever.
Oh, you were overt about the fact that
It was subtle. We were both trying to like just say, oh, you know, that's nice to meet. But we both were like, how do we get out of this? And like, she just said the words, are we done here? And I was like, yes, that should be a game show or an app where it's like you go on a speed date. And then when the person says, are we done here? And that accent, you have to say it in the accent.
Yeah, if you can use the accent, then you get to get out.
You get to get out. If you can't do the accent, you can't. You have to stick and marry that person. That's a rule.
But I always wonder if it's protocol if you have to hang in for a date that's not working.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing that Russians are known for is being honest and being they pride themselves on being to the point and honest. So they'll say something to you whether it's insulting or not. You know, they'll just be like, "Oh, you're a little bigger than I thought," or whatever.
That's right.
That Americans don't do, which is kind of good. Like, I feel like that's something there's something good and remarkable about that.
On a date, I would think you at least know where you stand very, very quickly, especially with the line, "Are we done yet?"
Are we done here?
Yes. Are this business completed? May I go?
Are we done yet? Yeah. It's transaction completed. Yeah, I think that's the one that resonates with me.
Yeah.
As a good final date. Other ones, I've been cyber dumped so much, like text via text, that I think that then I have to go back and be like, oh, that was our last date, but I don't remember why.
I had a kid in the room a couple of years ago who told me.
When you say kid, by the way,
17 years old.
Okay.
Yes. Great question. To clarify, who had one date with a girl, and she at the end of the date they had a very nice time. The way he described it, held his face in her hands, kissed him on both cheeks, and said, "You are such a dear, sweet man. This is never going to work, but I wish you all the best." And then she took her leave. And he was like, that was the greatest way. She basically absolutely didn't even friend zone me. She was done with me. And I felt great. I really felt like taken care of in that moment, you know?
See, a lot of people won't do that face to face. They'll say, I've had a lot of texts like that saying, "Hey, you're a great person, blah, blah, blah." But
right.
It's not. This isn't going to work.
Yeah.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
A lot of those.
that seems like I have not been through that in this age where you can text somebody or you can email somebody or you can send somebody a message via any dating app. But that's got to be brutal after a while, yeah?
For me, I think because I have no emotions, I think it's all worked out. I'm basically a Russian robot.
You have steeled yourself emotionally
steeled, yes,
to any to such pain.
I think so. I don't know. Maybe I'm just so. I'm another book I just read is it's that I just finished. That was the third one in the rotation. I used to do three. I don't know how you can say this on the air, but it's a great book.
Can you just give a
how to give what is the word? But anyway, the book talks about how you just have to, like, you know what? Scrap that thought.
Okay. We're going
to
scrap that thought.
I'm trying to think of how to word it.
Can you explain the sentiment behind the title?
The one thing I got from that book, essentially, is that you have to, you know, just there's certain things that you have to care about, and then the other things you just can't care about.
And then
that's where you steal yourself, for lack of a better word.
How not to give something. Is that
an S about it.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Okay. I actually read this book, right?
Yeah, by Mark, I forgot his name, but
I know who you mean.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yep. So what you took from that book was that you steal yourself from emotion?
Yeah, well, that's part of it. He talks about how he did that for a period of time and he moved on. So
yeah. I got from that book a little something different, Paul. I'm going to be
Let's
honest
talk
with
about
you.
It. Yeah, yeah.
What I took away from that book
Mark
was...
Mark Manson,
correct.
The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
What did you get?
What I got briefly is that he was discerning about what to care about and what not to care about. Yeah.
And that's the thing. So answering your question, going back to what you said, it's like you said, does it wear on you? It's like, no, because the things that you need to care about are the ones that are like the ones that you did want to have a connection with.
Right.
You do care about.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I wish that kind of worked out. But 90% of the time you're on the same page, especially with the apps, because you're only on a level where you didn't really get into a deep relationship with that person or a conversation, and you knew from the top it probably wasn't going anywhere.
I like that idea of, you know, not wasting time on niceties and just calling something that needs to be called. There's something very pragmatic about that.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Are we done here? That's what we're going to do.